forums ahead of the November general election. This evening, we are featuring the two individuals running for the position of Hancock County Common Pleas Court Judge, Republican Philip Regal and Independent Alex Treese. Welcome to you both, and thank you for your time. As is customary for these events, each candidate will be allotted 2 minutes for responses to each question, which they have not seen in advance. Follow-up questions or further discussion between the candidates will be allotted 1 minute. And we will begin with 2 minutes each for opening remarks, and we'll begin with Mr. Regal.
Thank you. So, my family first came to Hancock County back with a land grant from the War of 1812, and they got a land grant back when it was called Welfare Township, back then, now Delaware Township, and I moved about 3 miles from where that all began. So my family has deep roots here, and that's, I continue that. Grew up in Riverdale School District, went to the University of Findlay, graduate from University of Findlay, and then University of Toledo Law School. Then decided, I think I can help my community again, and I ran for county commissioner, did that for 10 years, and then decided, I think I can help my county and my community again as a county prosecutor, ran for that, and did that for the last 8 years. And so public service is important to me, and so when I considered, was I going to consider this position, run for this, or stay where I was, or do whatever, I considered all those things, I thought about it, and I thought, my skills and my unique background placed me in a position that I felt that this was something that I could be an asset to the community, and I have a different background than other people who maybe could consider running for this position. And so, as I considered that and prayed about it, I decided that yes, this is something I wanted to do. And so I'm here asking for your vote, for your support. Because when we consider these positions, especially as a common pleas court judge, these decisions for the community are really, really important. The amount of power and authority that a judge has is really important. We need to consider and to make good decisions on who we put in those positions. And I believe that my experience and temperament is what we need for our community.
Thank you. Mr. Treese.
Thank you. I want to thank WFIN and the Chamber for putting on today's event, and 50 North for hosting. This is a great space. I'm 50 South, so I've never been back here. My name is Alex Treese, and I'm running for judge of the Hancock County Common Pleas Court. Now, I know a lot of people in our community, but I've never run for a position before, so I want to introduce myself to you. I've been part of the Hancock County community my entire life. My family actually came in that same land grant program. We got property on West Main Cross. I'm a 1996 graduate of Van Buren High School. I received my communications degree, my bachelor's from Ohio University, and my law degree from Cleveland Marshall College of Law. Straight out of law school, I began at the Portage County Public Defender's Office and hit the ground running. I tried several cases in those first 18 months I worked for that office, several in the Common Pleas Court. In 2007, I was hired by Mark Miller, our county prosecutor, to come here to my hometown and prosecute felonies. And for 10 years, I prosecuted the most serious offenses in Judge Routson's courtroom. These included murders, serious sex offense, and serious drug offenses. I was even tasked, Mark put me in charge of the prosecution of the murders of Vera Jo Regal, and successfully got them locked away for a very, very long time. In 2017, I opened a general practice firm here in downtown Findlay, where I practiced all over Northwest Ohio, mainly in common pleas courts, but I went all over Ohio. But my most common court was the Hancock County Common Pleas Court. For the last several years, I've been the public defender assigned to Judge Starnes' court, where I try cases in that court every single day. For nearly 20 years, I've been a practicing attorney, almost all of it exclusively, in the Hancock County Common Pleas Court. I am the most qualified individual for this position, and so I'm asking for your vote in November.
Thank you. Mr. Regal, of course, currently serves as Hancock County Prosecuting Attorney. Mr. Treese, as he mentioned, currently serves as a public defender. I'd like to have you each explain how your experience in those distinctly opposite roles would shape your approach to the job of Common Pleas Court Judge. And we'll begin with Mr. Treese.
Well, what it's done is put me inside of a courtroom every single day. I take those experiences that I've gained prior to this position, traveling around observing other judges throughout Northwest Ohio, being in front of Judge Routson for nearly, or I think maybe even a little over a decade. And those experiences, because I'm in there every day, I know what is the most efficient way to run a courtroom. We're also very lucky in our community to have two great common pleas judges right now. So I've learned an immense amount from being in front of those two judges for a significant period of time. One of the main things I've learned from these judges and being in these courtrooms and dealing with these people is respect for anyone that appears in front of you. As a prosecutor, you don't get to talk to defendants. You deal with victims and you deal with witnesses, but you don't talk to defendants. When you talk to defendants, you have to sit with them on their worst day for something, some mistake they made or something bad that they did, and they have to, you know, face their consequences. It sort of changes your approach. It humanizes people. These are not cattle. Certainly there are bad people out there, but these are human beings that want to take oftentimes responsibility for a mistake that they made. So being a public defender, the vast majority of defendants are indigent and qualify for our services. So most of the defendants that appear in front of Judge Starnes' court are my clients.
And Mr. Regal.
So as prosecuting attorney, you make lots of different relationships, right? Work with law enforcement, and you see what they've gone through, what they go through on a daily basis. Some things are pretty tough. You work with them, you work with victims who've had horrific things happen to them. And so you sit with them and you try to go through, walk them through the process, because they don't understand. So you're trying to help them through that. You're trying to hold their hand, you're trying to talk to a victim and help them understand, you know, while they may want X or whatever sentence, that may not be what can happen, depending on the law and the circumstances around that thing. So sitting with victims, sitting with law enforcement, going through those things is really important and certainly helped shape who I am as a prosecutor. Talking with assistants and trying to talk through cases also has made given me different perspectives, listening to other attorneys and what they think is important. One of the things that I've also done as prosecutor is do most of our appeals. And so I read through transcripts after transcripts and try to deduce what the appellate attorney opposite me is trying to argue. And then also do research. Those are all things that are important. I do the research. I work on the appeals myself. I don't farm that out. So all those things are important, but also as prosecutor, there's other things that are involved too. It's not just criminal law. Working with townships, working with our county agencies, that's also really important. And it also gives perspective. It gives a different perspective of what the job of common pleas court, but also in this case, county prosecutor, means to our community. And those things, I believe, give me a good view of what a common pleas court judge should do.
So we talk about how your experience shapes your approach or would shape your approach to the job of judge. Let me zoom out a little bit even more broadly and ask, what do you believe is the most important skill of being a good judge, and how do you or would you work to hone that skill? And for this one, we'll start with Mr. Regal.
So a good judge is a fair judge, and a good judge treats everybody with respect and decency, no matter who they are. A good judge is a problem solver, working through problems, trying to figure out, you know, where we're headed, whether that's a scheduling conflicts, whether that's dealing with interpreters and trying to figure out how we can get interpreters to certain hearings and those sorts of things. All those things are really, really important. It's also being able to, as a problem solver, look at individual cases and determine what should happen here. What is the appropriate sentence? And taking into account all the things that are important. I think a person who does those things can be a good common pleas court judge. And I think that as you take those things in, you also have to look at the purposes and principles of sentencing. What are we supposed to do as common pleas court judges? And When you look at the purposes and principles of sentencing in 29-29-11, the first thing it says is to protect the public from future crime by the defendant or other or others. And so that's something that always should be in the forefront of our minds is what, how can we protect the community? What things can we do to make sure that we keep our community safe? And so I think that someone who's able to balance those things, who's able to problem solve around those things, I think is an effective judge and is someone who is fair and honest and trustworthy, makes a good common police court judge.
And Mr. Treese.
Thank you. I agree with most of what Mr. Riegel says. I agree that it takes some compassion and respect when you're appearing in court, but it also takes a skill set of knowledge. You have to have the knowledge and the experience of what the law is and how to apply it and how it should be applied. The law is constantly changing, either through case law or the legislature is changing something, so you have to stay on top of what is changing. It's something I've been doing for 20 years because I have to know that as a defense attorney or a prosecutor as well. The one part I do disagree with Mr. Riegel is the purpose and principles of sentencing actually has three categories. Protecting the public is one of them. But there are two more. One is to punish the offender, and the third is to fashion a sentence that deals with rehabilitation. All three were instructed to be treated equally. None of those three are more important than the other. Certainly protecting the public is very important, but sometimes you do that by fashioning a sentence for rehabilitation. Because if you're only focusing on punishing the offender, that may not protect the public when that person is released in a year, 2 years, 18 months. So you need to think of all three of the purposes, principles of sentencing when you're fashioning an appropriate sentence. In addition, I fully agree that regardless of your ethnicity, your race, your background, your national origin, your gender, you should be treated equally, fairly, but also consistently.
Since we've kind of gone in the direction and mentioned sentencing, obviously a key part of the role of judge. Over the years, the state of Ohio, a number of alternative sentencing diversion and intervention programs have been made available to the court. What would be your approach to evaluating the appropriateness of such programs in the sentencing of offenders? And we'll begin with Mr. Treese.
Well, diversion is a program that can be recommended through the court. The ultimate decision is with the prosecutor's office. They virtually don't use it in Hancock County. I cannot remember the last time one of my clients was accepted into their diversion program. Intervention, however, is up to the court. Intervention is a program where a defendant comes in and he pleads guilty. Then the judge takes that plea of guilty but does not find that defendant guilty. He then allows that defendant to put together a treatment program and at least 1 year, 365 days of sobriety. And if that offender can do it, that case is dismissed and that is off the record immediately. I fully believe it is underutilized in Hancock County. Having a felony conviction on your record can be devastating for someone that's done one thing one time. I'm not saying possession shouldn't be a crime, it is, and I'm glad that possession of dangerous drugs is a crime. However, when people are dealing with addictions and substance abuse, an intervention program can be the motivation to change their lives. I get, for various reasons, the vast majority of my intervention requests denied. 9 times out of 10, it's because my client did something. But I think we can be a little more lax because when you're dealing with addiction, recovery is never a straight line. We want it to be, but we would love recovery to be perfect. But very oftentimes, progress is made, a slip is had. And if that happens with an intervention program, that 1 year starts over. So I think we need to work that program intervention in. You can also use it for mental health. You can use that if someone's been human trafficked. So I believe it's highly underutilized as it currently stands.
And Mr. Riegel.
Well, currently, intervention in lieu of conviction is filed for really often. I mean, I'm taken aback that Mr. Dries said, is, I guess, inferring that it's not hardly used in our community. That seems, it seems impossible to believe, considering all the requests and motions for intervention in lieu of conviction that I've seen come across my desk. So I believe that we are using intervention in lieu of conviction, and Our common police court judges have taken that very seriously, and I think you should as well. You should look at the individual, determine or make some determinations on the information that you can get, and then determine if that person is a good candidate or not. And I think that our court has done a good job of making those decisions. So I disagree with my opponent. I don't think that our court has done a poor job in those respects. I think they've done a good job of trying to weigh those determinations on if a person is a good candidate for intervention in lieu of conviction. And there's a lot of defendants who are put through intervention in lieu of conviction currently. So I think that that's a program we should continue to use, and the court should continue to put those individuals through who make sense and can show that they will be can be successful. Not every candidate is successful. Sometimes people make mistakes and they don't follow through, and sometimes a judge will keep them on intervention and sometimes they won't. And those are individual decisions that a judge has to sit and make and with all the information. And so I trust that our judges are doing a good job of trying to make those determinations now. And I would try to do a similar tact in trying to take all that information and looking at each individual case and then determining if that person could be successful or not and whether to keep them on or not.
Is there any way I could
offer them up?
That's the difference between my opponent and myself. He sees those motions come across his desk. I'm in the courtroom actually with those defendants going on the record. I'm an actual practitioner, not an administrator. If he'd been in the courtroom when these things happened, he would see that most of these intervention requests are being denied, at least in my courtroom. As I said, oftentimes it is because my client missed a meeting, couldn't stay clean to show up for a hearing and be clean at that hearing. I think we need to be a little more relaxed or understanding and compassionate when we're dealing with addiction in these intervention programs. I'm speaking directly, there are people in this room that I'm speaking directly to, because I think this needs to change. We need to use this program much more than it's currently being used.
Mr. Regal?
Yeah. We'll get to some of the other parts later about some of the comments about administrator and that sort of thing. And certainly being a prosecutor, you have to be an administrator. I'm also, I also work in trials and everything else. But I go back to this point. Our judges have the information, all the information, to make determinations. And to essentially say that they're doing a poor job and not taking into consideration all of the things that they should, I think is concerning. As our judges are taking all that information and through their experience trying to determine whether to allow this person to be on ILC or not, whether to keep that person on ILC or not. And they're not just making it in a vacuum. They're not just making it to say, this is a statistic, I'm going to have this person or not. They're making difficult decisions, and I think they're doing a good job at it.
We'll expand on the idea of sentencing of offenders. Part of the job also involves evaluating plea arrangements in lieu of actual trials and sentencing. What would be your philosophy in determining whether a plea arrangement is acceptable to the court? And we'll begin with Mr. Regal.
Boy, those are tough issues. Looking at each case, trying to determine, is this plea an acceptable? Is this within the interests of justice? And some of that you have to trust your attorneys that you're working with, your prosecutor's office, defense counsel. You have to look at them and say, is this really a fair and equitable way to move forward? And sometimes you have to get some facts. Sometimes you have to just wait and hear all the information put on the record. So certainly, plea agreements happen. It's a regular part of practice in the legal system. We don't have a system able to, at least in Hancock County, conduct, I think we had 550 indictments last year. We don't have a system in place to do 550 felony trials in a year in Hancock County. That's just not the way the system's currently built. So plea agreements are part of the deal, but a judge also, again, has to make sure that they're within the interests of justice. And is this a fair and equitable situation? The other thing is, you also, with Marcy's Law, you know, there's also some questions that a court has for a victim, and making sure that the victim has been heard and those sorts of things, and that they have a right at a hearing to make statements, potentially, depending on what part of the plea or sentencing you're at. So all those things are important, and I think that a court has to take all of those into consideration when determining whether to accept a plea or not. But again, you have to have a good relationship. This comes down to working with people, and you have to have a good relationship with your prosecutor's office and your defense counsel so that you can feel confidence that you know what you're doing going forward.